Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Having some meetings at the office, you should try to come, and that's pretty much it. All right, does that make sense? We're just not turning on any hype machine. I have no interest in that at all. So hey, today is Palm Sunday, and that is the end of my Palm Sunday message. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. Thank you to Jesus for we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm sure there will be plays and kids walking in carrying crosses and all kinds of wonderful things today. I'm just going to talk about what the Lord is talking about, okay? Yeah. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Y'all there? Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Excellent. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray real quick, shall we? Father God, that you would bless the reading of the word today and you would just open hearts to your presence. You would transform lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My walk cannot be separated from the walk of this church. I am not hired to come here and teach the Bible. I have not been hired to come here and run a church program. This church is an extension of my walk. I am not this church. Praise Jesus. This church is not my life. Praise God. However, it's impossible to separate the vision God gave me for this church from me. It's not possible. And my prayer life is manifested in this church. And as you're a part of this church, hopefully your prayer life is manifested in this church. Hopefully you could say, I see parts of this church that were born in my secret place. There are things that are truths in this fellowship of believers that came out of my heart and my reading of scriptures and my communion with Jesus. Let me give you an example. We have a worship leader, and we have other singers who get up and sing songs out of their spirit as the Holy Ghost leads them that reflect their relationship with God. Now, what you sang today is a direct result of their relationship with Jesus. You understand that? Yes? I wanted to have a guest reception area. I couldn't decorate that if I wanted to. If it was me, we'd have like some boxes of cookies, and they'd still be in the box. And there will be no-name cookies, because I'm a little on the cheap side. And we'd like get them at the dollar store or something. And there'd probably be coffee, but it wouldn't be cute. And people would be like, hey, you know, you want some, go ahead and get some, you know. But there's people who, out of their personality and who they are, it manifests in things looking nice, which is nice. We have children's ministry, and just be thankful that it's not me running it. You know, that is not a manifestation of my relationship with Jesus. It's a manifestation of me not wanting to watch my kids during church service that we have children's ministry. Hallelujah. Any of you grow up having to sit in the big service and the big church growing up and you just hated going to church? I just have a feeling that's not God's desire for kids. I just have a feeling that if we can have a place that's fun and they actually learn about Jesus, it's probably a little better. But where this church goes directionally is a direct result of my relationship with God. And so I began praying, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months ago. I really felt led by the Holy Ghost, but I really began praying. And I began meditating on the Lord about 4 or 5 months ago. I began this. I would wake up first thing in the morning, and before I get out of bed, and I encourage you to maybe do the same if you're able, maybe set your alarm back a little bit. And I would wake up in the morning, and before I get out of bed, I would begin to meditate on the times that I've encountered God. And I just don't get out of bed. I just lay there, and I think about the day he saved me. I think about the times that I saw him move in people's lives. I would just think about the miracles that I saw. I would think about people whose lives got radically changed. And the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And so as I would meditate on this, you know, it would reactivate the gift that was active in the time that miracle happened. Does that make sense? Because the Spirit would be present in the midst of the testimony, so it would manifest in my heart at that moment. And so as I began praying, the Lord began to challenge me, I feel it was me reacting to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, I have been touched mightily. You have touched me mightily. And I know that there's young men and women in this house who have been touched mightily. I'd sure like you to touch this house, though, corporately. Would you touch this house? Would you enable this house to have an encounter with you? I like that the people in this house have had encounters. I want this house to have an encounter. And so I would just begin to cry out for that day after day after day. Lord, that you would touch this house, because this house has to be bigger than me. Has to be bigger than Pastor Tracy. Has to be bigger than the ministry team directors. It's got to be bigger than a name or a website or product. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be bigger than that. And so I said, Lord, we need a touch from you. This can't be a manifestation of my gift. It's got to be a manifestation of your will. And so we just began to pray that. And a couple weeks ago, the Lord decided to just, I don't know, honor that. And we began to receive a touch as a house. And I began to pray, Lord, what is the purpose of this? And as I'm talking to the elders in my life, it's important to know not only what God is doing, but why he's doing it. Because that went over real well. Let me say it again. It's not, God is doing something in your life right now, either through the fruitful times or the barren times. He's doing something. And it's important to know why he's doing it, what the purpose is, what the end goal is of God. Yes? The process is not the end. There's a reason why you're doing it. You don't go to school just so you can go to school. As much as kids think there's no purpose behind it, the reason for going to school should be so that you're educated and can be a more capable citizen. So many people get involved in student loan debt, college debt, because they go to school with no purpose. They go to school just so they can have a degree, as opposed to going to college to be qualified for the job they want to get. Is this? Yeah. Okay, good. And so people will go $50,000 into debt to go to college, and they graduate with a degree that they have no intention of using. That's dumb. It's dumb to spend $50,000. All right, what if I said this? Hey, Ron, would you like to buy this? It's only $50,000. I know you don't have a microphone, and you're never going to need one, but why don't you give me $50,000 in 4 years of your life? That doesn't sound like a good deal. But that's what a lot of people get from college. They get a degree that does nothing for them, not qualified to do anything they want to do, and they walk away with a ton of debt. That don't make no sense. If you want to go to college, I'm for education. If you have to wait a year or two and figure out what you want to go to school for, that's a good plan. I hope those of you who are bored, I hope I saved one or two people having a mortgage for a house that you won't own. Okay? Just if that makes sense. Wait a year or two, figure out why you want to go to school for that. Excel in life. All right. And so we see this process in our lives. We should be going to school to qualify for a good job. But at the same point, if God is doing something in your life, it's for a reason, right? He loves on you. Why? Well, he's just a good God, but he wants you to walk in love. You know, he doesn't correct you just to show you that you're not good and he is. That's not what he corrects you to bring you into right relationship with God and man. You get this? And we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit bring so many wonderful things in our lives. It's an incredible experience. It draws us closer to God. It empowers us for service. It brings intimacy. It brings revelation. There's so many wonderful things that come from it. But it's important to understand the first instructions about baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we see it right here in the book of Acts. Let's read this again together, shall we? Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said to them, this is Jesus, right? The people are saying to Jesus, back it up for me. They say to Jesus in verse 6, listen, we know that you're the king and you're come to restore the kingdom, right? We know that you're the king and you've come to restore the kingdom. When do we get to rule the kingdom with you? When do we get to be in charge? And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. What does that mean? He says, listen, what I'm doing is on my time schedule. You don't have to worry about when it's done. Well, then what's our job? But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Say power. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he sent power for a reason. He sent power not just so you can rule and reign with him. He didn't send power just so you could shake on the floor and act weird. He didn't send power just so you could tell all your Presbyterian friends what they're not seeing that you are. He's not sending power so you can judge the Baptists. He's not sending power so you can get on the preaching circuit. He's sending power so that you can be a witness. What's a witness do? They tell people who weren't there what happened. I got like one point, and it's going to take me a minute to make it, but I need you to hear this because it's important. God is in our midst these days because he wants to empower us. He really wants to empower us. It's always been the vision of this house to take the power of God to the streets. I have no desire to be in a Christian club. I don't wear a lot of Christian clothes. I have nothing against anybody who makes them. There's nothing wrong with it. I love you, Kevin. Not against you there. There's a market for people who like it. I hope you make a lot of money from them. I have no desire to be in a Christian club. I don't want to act like a Christian. I want to be a Christian. And I want to be someone who gets empowered by Jesus and takes it to the world who don't know Jesus and spread the kingdom of God. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I want to be a witness of Jesus Christ in this world. I have no desire to start a revival where a bunch of church people leave their church to visit my church, then go back to their church and tell their church about this church. There's nothing in that. There's no draw in that at all. I have no desire to get a funny haircut so I can be on TV and tell people that they'll get blessed if they give me $1,000. Nothing in that is attractive to me. Nothing in that. There's no draw at all in me of that. The shoes sometimes that they wear are somewhat enticing. I see Mark Sharona's shoes, and I'm like, man, that guy's got some. Where do you get those? Side story. Can I tell you a side story? I was at a conference one time, and Mark Sharona was on stage with Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, and you got to put in, if you don't know those people, just ignore this part of the story. And you got to submit questions. And people have these really, you know, theological questions. And I just wanted to ask Mark Sharona where he gets his shoes. I was just like, do you have those handcrafted or do you get those off the shelf? And he answered it. He said he has a gift of shopping as an Italian. I don't know. Listen, John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father and he says, the glory that you have given me, I give to them that they may be one even as you are and I are one. Now listen, first thing I want you to see here is he gave the glory for a reason. There's a purpose behind what Jesus does. He doesn't just randomly do stuff. I've poured out my glory so they can have bad doctrine and be very weird. No, I've given my glory so that they can be one. I've given them my glory so they can be one. Verse 23, I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one. Why? Why? Why does he want that? Why? So that. See, words matter. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. We see here a second time that Jesus talks about what is in heaven, the perfect will of God, touching people who know him so that those that don't know him can find out about him. There's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind it. And I hate to keep bad-mouthing, but I'm going to continue to do it because maybe I need to be healed. But it'd be like if you like to work on cars, and I like to work on cars. Well, I used to like to. I don't like doing it now. I like doing it when it's a hobby. I don't like it when it's like, if I don't get this right, my car's not going to run. That's not as much fun. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But it's like you go somewhere, and someone's got like a full display case full of tools. They're like, look at the Snap-on 17 millimeter I got there. It's like, I don't think it's ever been used. Nope, never been used. But I got it. I remember the conference I got that at. Yeah. Got a master craftsman manual right there. I don't see any grease on it, though. Has it been opened? Nope. Never been opened, but I got it. It's up in the case. The head apostle of car repair gave that to me. I'm a master technician. Have you ever fixed a car? Nope. Got the manual right there to prove that I could, though. I'm like, man, I just got these rusty pliers, but, man, I'm wearing them out. I'm wearing out my rusty pliers right now. God isn't giving out tools for you to show them off to other people. Don't tell me about what you could do. I don't care what you could do. I'm not impressed. I want to see what you're doing. I want to see where you're at right now. See where you're at right now, where you're sitting. I want you to be on the stage in a couple weeks holding the microphone, telling the people what Jesus is doing. I mean, I'm when Corey gave his testimony, Corey's got a bunch of testimonies like that about just random people getting saved and all that good stuff. But at some point, one guy getting saved when he met a Christian shouldn't be that big a deal. That should be like, yeah, we call that Christianity. You got a testimony, right? Well, of course you got people saved because you're giving your testimony. Well, I got my testimony printed out on pretty paper behind this case. I only take it out when other people who have testimonies come to look at it. I don't think it's for them. I don't think my. He wants to make us one so the world can look at us and say, what do they have? They got a family. Why are you up in church all the time? What are you doing in church? Because I got a family. Have you met the family I grew up with? I got one I like now. I love my family. I really like this one. You see, what God is doing in you and what he's doing on the earth right now, he doesn't always let us know where it's going to end. What God is really interested in is people who will just do what he tells them to do. We had our breakfast with Pastor. Breakfast, I guess that's kind of redundant, but we have a little breakfast every now and then for folks who are new. And if you sign up, you didn't come, we forgive you. We totally forgive you. My heart is healed, and I'm not offended that you didn't show up. But and in that, somebody asked, you know, I'm trying to have light conversation, you know, hey, where'd you grow up, whatever. They're like, how do you walk in power? What? Well, you just follow God. How do you do that? I feel like you're challenging me. Like, no, but that's a pretty good question, right? Jesus said in John chapter 3, he says, look, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Now, We hear that sentence a lot, and we hear the Holy Spirit described as the wind. The wind. John chapter 3, verse 8. Overhead people. John chapter 3, we see in verse 8 where Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Like, yeah, the Holy Spirit's great. But let's see who he's talking about. So it is with everyone. Are you an everyone? So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so we ask Jesus questions that he never promised us the answers to. Lord, when am I going to come into the call? Lord, when will I get to reign with you? It's not for you to know the times or seasons. You'll receive power and go do what I told you to do. And so you say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going right now. And your family says to you, why are you going to that little church in a cafeteria? What are you doing in that? Don't you know there's a church down the road that has like 8 billion people? Why do you go to that church? My church service is only an hour long. Why are you going there? They're so much more efficient where I go. Don't take that long. You don't have to be that radical. Everything in moderation. Say, why? Well, I go to that church because that's where God has me. Why? Well, ask him. I don't ask why. I just say, yes, sir. When I find out when I'm led by the Spirit, things get produced that I can't produce on my own. Why would we order the very expensive pizza for the youth group and spend money on the youth who don't even tithe? Why would we do that? They should be getting the no-name cookies from the dollar store. Can we get better food? Get a better job. Better offerings come better cookies. But no, we order them the good cookies, the good pizza. Why do you do that, Corey? Why do we do that? He's led by the Spirit. He orders expensive pizza. People get saved. What do you think a soul is worth? I say an extra $5 on pizza is a good investment for a soul. Yes? You hear what I'm saying? I say it's a pretty good investment. It costs a little more sometimes to be led by the Spirit. It costs you your life. It costs you your will. It costs you your dignity. Some of you going to this church has cost you your dignity. Isn't that the church where they fall down? Yeah. Do you fall down when I'm lucky? Oh, if you're freaked out of falling, I'm not going to tell you about the glass balls that have hit me recently. Ha. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sends out some folks. He sent out 12 of his friends here. He says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. But go rather, we're in Matthew 10, 5. Y'all knew that though because you're so Spirit-led. And enter no town of the Samaritans, but go, verse 6, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, what do we do there, Lord? Preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I just have to talk? Yeah, but while you're there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. Yeah. Do we get to make money doing this? You receive without paying, give without pay. I know Christians that are scared to eat chicken, but want to cast out demons. That might hurt me. Well, you definitely don't want to cast out a spirit of death. Jesus is, he's just, I hope this is coherent. I really do. Jesus has come to empower us to do something that we could not do on our own. And when I say us, I mean you. I'm talking about he's pouring out his spirit in this very season in this house. And what we have seen is there is a grace. I could have filled the entire day with testimonies from our evangelism outreach, our last one. The grace to witness was so prevalent. And there was such a saturation of anointing to reach the lost. I mean, have you ever gone to the mall? And I mean, Brandon calls, walks up to a dude. Now, this might sound off color. And he says, "The Lord showed me you." That sounds like gaychristianmingle.com to me. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I hope there is no such website. That would be bad. The Lord showed me you. Sorry, bro. Then the homie got excited. I'm like, He wants to touch you. But the Lord is going to heal. There's a grace. There's a grace in this season. I got two glares and a point from my wife. This is going to be an ugly night. But how does the Lord use that? By his grace. Because men don't walk up to men in malls and say, "I saw you in my prayer time." I know there's women who want to say that to some men in this house. "I was praying and the Lord showed it me you." I'm just waiting for you to get the revelation. Take your time. But I will cut any other girl. No. Gosh. I need to reel this in. Go ahead, Pastor. In this season, coherent preaching has left our church. No, but there is a grace right now for you to walk in power. The Lord is visiting us in this time. We got Easter next week. You got the perfect excuse. I mean, people want to go to church on Easter. And you can even use, the spirit of religion, religious condemnation. You know you got to go to church on Easter, right? The Pope said you can't go to heaven without going to Easter. Easter and Christmas, right? They don't got a choice. The Pope said it. Right there. What's up? What's up? What's up? No, listen. Jesus sends his spirit for a reason. He sent his anointing for a reason. He sent it because he wants to use you to do the impossible, do the miraculous, to change this earth for his glory. Is that simple? Listen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? The four Gospels. At the end of each of them, there is a commissioning of believers to go out and do something. They all end with instructions. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go." Say go. Listen, he's like, "I'm in charge of everything. Whatever I say is the rule. Here's the rule. Go." I mean, I could stop right there. That's pretty clear, right? He says, "All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's pretty clear instruction. He says, let me put it in Luke as well. In Luke, in chapter 24, he says, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until," say until. "Stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high." Mark chapter 16. He said to them, these are last words, this is important stuff. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." There's a lot of ministries that are built on secondary revelations. And I'm okay. People have a call from God. You may have a teaching ministry that you're called to teach believers the Bible. Yes, that's valid. Amen. You may have a pastoral call where you shepherd the people of God. You may have a very specific call in the house of God. But the main and plain rule that God has set up for the church is not to stick around in a little city and be the church. The church is not called to write Bible studies as its main purpose. It's not called to hold music festivals. It's not called to do anything in the house. This is not what we're called to do. Have communion, us four and no more. That's not the point of the church. He made it really, 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 really clear. Mark 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's preaching. That's talking. That's going out and doing something. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will what? Whoever doesn't will be condemned. Listen, this is just so amazing to me that God said, listen, I want to redeem the world, and I'm not going to be able to do that unless you do what I ask you to do. I've given you an important part of my plan. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. You don't have to do it on your own. I'm not going to leave you out there and say, figure it out. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you. But that's the beginning. That's not the end. That's not the end of the story. I'm not just going to save you so you can be saved. That's not the point. I'm going to save you as a means to something else. So I'm going to bring you in the door of my plan through salvation. But once you get through the door, I'm going to clean you off. I'm going to show you how wicked your life was so you don't go back to it. I'm going to convict you of your sin. I've always found that people get saved then convicted of their sin. You need both. That's not a big theological statement for me, but generally the goodness of God, you encounter it, you get saved, draws you to repentance. Repentance has to be in there somewhere. So the goodness of God draws you to repentance. You get saved. You get cleaned. Some people get convicted, then they get saved. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to build a theological ladder here. But after you come into the kingdom, you get empowered. You get empowered with the Holy Ghost. And he says, okay, here's what I do. I've saved you so that I can clean you and I can empower you. Now I'm going to use you. The whole reason I brought you into the kingdom so you can be part of my plan. The whole reason, so you can be part of my plan. You are part of the plan of God to redeem South Florida. Thank you. I'm preaching right here to you guys right here. You see, Ron and Sam, Jesus Christ has sent his spirit because he wants to use you guys to touch this earth with his glory so he can pour out his presence, he can redeem his bride, and he can establish the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. So he says, I'm going to send you out there, and I'm going to give you power to accomplish my plan. Well, how will I know if we're doing it? Well, I'll give you signs. What will the signs look like? They may be odd, but these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. Mark 16, verse 17.
Overhead, people.
He says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, that's the goal. He brings you in through the door of Christ Jesus so you can do that. He doesn't do this long work in your life so you can get through the door. Does that make sense? He brings you in through the door so you can do that. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is that we can destroy the works of the devil on the earth. He saved us so we can do that. He washed us so we can do that. He empowered us so we can do that. He enabled us to live as a family so we can do that. And if you come up short of that, you can't rest in what you've already received. Are y'all bored? Is this? I'm really going somewhere, I promise you. Jesus was a very good Jew. And in John chapter 7, he's at the Feast of Booths, right? And there's this, there's a feast happening, and it lasted several days. And the Bible, there's a funny little scripture there in John chapter 7. It says, on the last day of the feasts, the great day, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will come rivers of living water. Now, I don't know about you, have you ever had like a really, really big meal that lasted several days? Can you imagine being hungry or thirsty at the end of that? At that moment, you're full, right? You're full. You're absolutely full. And Jesus is like, is anybody thirsty? And they must be like, what are you talking about? I feel like I could explode right now. He says, because if you are, drink of me, and out of you will come a river. Now, it doesn't make sense in the abstract. But Jesus, by the Spirit, the prophet Zechariah says, in Zechariah 10, it says, ask for rain from the Lord in the season of spring rain. Ask for rain in the season of the spring rain. In the more popular translation says, ask for rain in the latter rain. So, when there is rain happening, Jesus says, don't rest on the rain, because the rain will dry up. And the earth will dry again. Jesus says, oh, you're full, huh? You just want to relax now. You just want to, oh, I just want to sit back and enjoy my full belly. No. In the season of the outpouring, pray for outpouring. In the season of favor, pray for favor. Jesus says, stay hungry, stay thirsty, because when he is pouring out his presence like this, in times of such amazing encounters that we're having, in that season, pray, Lord, can I have a greater encounter with you? While heaven is thin, while heaven is near, while the presence of God is so close, so many people are having open visions of heaven and open visions of Jesus in our meetings, physically touching people. In those times, we pray, Lord, would you touch us now in the midst of this outpouring, that it won't just be a touch. It won't be a visitation, because I don't just want to go to a feast and be full. I want to have a river coming out of me. The goal is not to have revival services. The goal is to have revival people. So in the season of rain, you want to get in the rain and ask God, I need rain, Lord. I see it's raining in this season, but I don't need to have a season of rain. I need to be a person of rain. In the visitation, I'm not going to be satisfied. Just have, oh, I can go to church 2 weeks from now. It's always a good service, but, you know, Dancing with the Stars is on, you know. No, I in this season of visitation, in this season of visitation, you need to cry out, Lord, keep me hungry. Keep me thirsty, Lord. Because I need a river. I can't just drink of Pastor Tracy's river. I can't drink of Corey's river. I need my own river out of my belly, bringing rivers of living water. There's a world that don't have a river. But you have a river. The Lord says, get people to drink out of your river so I can get them and give them their own. You got to see this. You got to see it. You have to see it for your life. You have to see how God wants to use you on this earth. You have to see it. I can cast vision, but you got to get it from Jesus, what the purpose of your life is for you. The Lord will pour out vision and give you an understanding of what he has called you to do. And I have found, before you get the big picture of what God has called you to do, he'll give you a little picture and say, here's how I want you to be obedient in this season. Quick side note, and then I'll wrap it up. My wife and I were in a season of wandering. I think it lasted about 5 days. And in our wandering of where we were supposed to be, the Lord led us somewhere. And we're in a kind of a large church, searching where God would have us. Went to every ministry in that church. I was like, if you have me here, Lord, the anointing's got to be somewhere. And it wasn't there. And I just wanted to serve anywhere but with the youth. That was pretty much it. I just wasn't going to do the youth, and I don't think they'd let me do the kids, so I'd just be anywhere. Because I remember middle school wasn't a happy time. And I didn't want to be around any snot-nosed, annoying, obnoxious people. That was just how I looked at it. Can I just be honest? I didn't know what saved youth looked like. And so I had no opportunities to minister anywhere. Someone asked me to minister if I wanted to preach one time to the middle schoolers. Now, I'll preach to anybody, anywhere, anytime, anything. I'll preach to the geriatric patients. I'll preach to toddlers. I'll preach to animals. I don't care. I'm a preacher. I want to preach. And I had one opportunity to preach. It was in middle school. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been praying about middle school people. Yeah, bring them in. Let me. So they had this service, and I knew, here's my opportunity. I'm going to be obedient. I'm not going to set up a little, this is what God can and can't use me to do. And so I figured, you know, I might have one opportunity to preach, so I'm going to give them everything I got. So I preach on, you know, Eli in the temple and Samuel hearing God and encounters with Jesus and the glory fell and people are laid out in the power of God. Parents show up. What's happening to my kids? What is happening in this church? What are you doing? Who are you, by the way? And so out of that, the youth pastor says, you know, you know, we've really been, you know, my wife, like his wife made him ask me to serve in youth. Like he didn't even want to, but his wife made him. Women, you're powerful. And he asked me if I wanted to serve in the youth. And I didn't want to, but it was the only open door I had in that church. And I was like, all right, well, that's where I will serve. And long story short, out of that youth ministry, me just trusting Jesus, saying, this is where you have me, God. This is not what I want to do. This is what I will do. Out of that sprang my ministry. Out of that sprang, God redeemed my call in that. God birthed an outreach in my heart, which turned into this church. We love the kids. And so some of you are wondering, God, when will you use me? And these kids walked in for a reason just now. Your ministry is going to start with you preaching on Sunday morning in the other building to 8-year-olds. But come on, I feel this by the Holy Ghost. I feel this by the Holy Ghost. If you want God to use you, you're probably going to have to humble yourself in your initial attempt here at ministry. If you think you're going to start in a stadium, probably not going to happen. If you have some sort of ministry porn ideas where you're just going to walk on one day and you're going to be the big man and you're going to, that's fantasy land. It doesn't work that way. You can't handle the warfare. You don't know how to reach the masses. There's a training involved to preach the Word of God. I mean, ask the people serving in the youth ministry. You got to do a 15-minute sermon. They pray all week for it. Why? There's a breaking through that happens. And so if you're like, I'm stuck, I don't understand, we got anointed men ministering to our youth, right, to our children right now. God is raising them up to be mighty preachers. Where is God going to begin using you? Is it in the nursery? And if you have a child in the nursery, the answer is yes. That's the co-op aspect of being a church. But you feel called to preach? Are you saying, I will preach to these people, but I won't preach to them? I invite you to give your life to Christ. I invite you to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have you been given a testimony, but you kind of stingy on where you give that testimony? The Word says, freely receive, freely give. I want to challenge everybody in this room. I want to challenge you. This is not a church growth technique. I want everybody in this room to leave with at least one invitation card. Don't come back next week. Come back next week, but have invited somebody. It could be somebody you know, somebody you don't know. I want you to break out of your shell and see how God will use you. Now, if you have faith, you might bring two. They even have some in packs that you could, you know, a man of great faith. A woman of mighty faith. God saved you, gave you His Spirit. My question to you is why? What's the next step for you? Let's stand. Woo! Ha! Here we go. Let me pray for you. And we're just going to ask. We're just going to ask heaven to come. That wasn't Kevin. That was heaven. That was the realm of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, just put your hands out to receive from God. Just put your hands out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would come right now. Now, some of you are in a season of healing, and the Lord's been, he's going to begin pouring out healing in your heart right now. I see it even happening now with some of you. There's a healing of the heart and an ability to trust. There's a love that's coming over you right now, and a peace that God wants to bring. But listen, for others, God's going to begin birthing dreams that are bigger than you. And he's going to birth things in your heart that are not going to bring you any direct benefit. We call those God dreams. Hallelujah. 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 Hear the Lord saying that you have just entered the season of fruitfulness.